Well, praise the Lord for you singing this evening. I trust if we were, I trust that you're looking at all the good things that the Lord has done for you. If we're in a room where we could all hear one another, we'd just have each of us say something that we're thankful for. We're not, but I challenge you right now to think of something that you are grateful to God Almighty for. Do you have that thing? You say, I got it. Some of us aren't blessed. We ought to be always ready to give thanks to the Lord. I understand that life is not easy on any of you. But regardless of what's going on in our lives, we have a wonderful God who will never leave us nor forsake us. And He will be with us always. And we're so thankful for that. And sometimes we do a bad job at rehearsing the good things that the Lord has done. If somebody pins us down on them, yes, we'll say, oh, yes, he's done that. But let us be that person that just dwells on those things, reminding us. And you say, well, why would I need to do that? Shouldn't the Lord be good enough to just give me all kinds of stuff? He is. But I'm not saying you do it for the Lord's benefit. The Lord doesn't need us to do that. We need to do that. And because we'll get ourselves in a sideways kind of mind and not be thankful for what we've certainly got. I want you to look in our Bibles this evening. We'll get started, and you can turn to Romans chapter number 7 if you want. That'll be our first point that we go through. We'll just let our fingers do the walking through several things. But I want to continue on tonight about when others sin, I believe is what your title is on your handout tonight. And on the flip side of what we've been talking about, and that's bitterness, we spent 4 weeks in this room, if you were in here for our Equip series, about forgiveness, and then we kind of went after that last week about bitterness. But I'd like to look at some of those same aspects tonight, but think about everybody. If you're bitter tonight against somebody, I want us to look through Scripture and see probably why that person did something that you're upset about. Because that person is a frail human being just like you. Now, maybe you're upset or bitter about some circumstance, not necessarily a person. But I want us to humanize that person if it is somebody who's done something to us. And when others sin, and I think that when we look at what happens in their lives, we're going to turn around and say, wait a minute, that sounds a lot like what happened in my life. It's important to remember when we think about other shortcomings that we struggle and stumble sometimes with those same things. You ever get mad at somebody because they're late, won't come on, they won't hurry up, they won't come on down out of the house, and then next time it's you that can't find the stuff, and now you're wishing you'd be able to take all that stuff back that you told your wife when she was making you wait the last week when she was not in a hurry. Well, it happens that way in serious things as well. But tonight, I want us to figure out why we struggle. And when we figure out why we struggle, we'll also find out why others struggle. And maybe through all that, the Lord will allow some healing to come to us if we truly are, or we know folks who are bitter against something or someone that's gone on in their lives. So we're first going to look at why we struggle, and that's why you're in Romans. Why we struggle about the different things that are in our lives. And as we start this Bible study, we'll pray together tonight and then begin. Father, be with us now as our prayer. Lord, we're looking forward to the next few moments. I pray that you'd give us clarity. I pray, dear Lord, that you would do something in us. May we see the people who have wronged us as more than just a point of contention. May instead we realize they're facing the same battles we are. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in that tonight. Romans chapter 7, Lord, we'll thank you as we get started in your word. Amen. Verse number 19, the Bible says this, "For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, you talk about a tongue twister. This section of Scripture certainly is. "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law which... when I would do good, evil is present with me." Why do we struggle? We're going to look at ourselves. We're going to look at other people. Why do we or anybody else struggle? Well, you'll be surprised. It's going to be our three enemies that we've all known about for a long time. We all battle from within. We battle from within because the Bible says, those things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. You're like that person that goes up to the drive-thru, you know, McDonald's, and says, I'm going to have a salad. They've got some salads, and Wendy's does too. You go to Wendy's, I'm going to have a salad. Then they come on, "What do you want tonight?" "I'll take a double baconator, please." You want that biggie size? Might as well. Go big or go home. I sure would. Why is that? You were convinced driving up through there that it was going to be a salad, taco salad, apple pecan salad, or whatever it was. You knew it. You said it over and over and over in your mind as if you were trying to convince yourself. But then the words just from somewhere said, yes, triple baconator. I think I can do it tonight. Do you realize how many fat grams are in a triple baconator? You say, no, do you? No, I don't know, but nobody should probably find out either. Triple, 3 quarter-pound patties, bacon in between each one, and cheese, I think, in between each one. It's like a heart attack wrapped up in that little paper that they give it to you in. But you have it. You don't order what you should. You order what you want. Why? Because we all battle within. Let's go to something that's a little more serious than what you ate for lunch today when you went through the drive-thru. Why is it that we can't seem to help ourselves with a smart-aleck comment when our spouse ask us something, or when we get sideways about something, we get upset because something's not done right? Isn't it amazing? If you want to know whose job something is in a house, just let it go undone one time, and the husband or wife, whichever one you're friends with, will tell you again and again and again, he didn't do his job. You've heard that little old saying that says that in a house or in a business or in a wherever, it's a job that anybody could have done and everybody should have done. Been nice if somebody had done it, but who ended up with the job? Nobody. That nobody does a lot of work around your house, doesn't he? Anybody could have, somebody should have, and everybody could have, but nobody did. And it's amazing when you get to a place where it's not your job, it's somebody else. You judge people, or I judge people, by well, their actions, but I judge myself by my intent. You say, what do you mean by that? Meaning that if I forgot to do something, what do I say? Oh, man, I meant to do that. But if Amy forgets to do something, why didn't you do that? That was your job. Why? Because we're easy on ourselves. But I'm saying why we struggle with things is we battle from within. The good that I would do, I don't do those things. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. We struggle. We have a battle from within. But we also, in 1 Peter, if you'll let your fingers do the walk, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, we battle from within. That's ourself. But we also have a powerful enemy, and that's old Slewfoot himself, the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, when you get there, you probably remember hearing it, remember learning it for that matter. Be sober. Not talking about the difference between drunk and being inebriated, but it's being serious. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is real, and the devil is really in action. One preacher put it like this: he's never more successful when he convinces you he doesn't exist. You may think, oh, that's old wives' tale. You think the devil really is concerned about me? He may or may not be concerned about me or you as an individual person, but he certainly got this set up in principalities and powers and these demonic forces. We have a powerful enemy. Sounds a lot like those three enemies that you know. We're talking about ourself, we're talking about the devil, and then thirdly, we're talking about the world. In Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says this. Let me read it for you here. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4. We've got a present evil world to be concerned about, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So why do we struggle? It's the same reason the person that's upset you struggles. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We see why we struggle. It all comes in one of those places. I think sometimes when people say, oh, you know, there used to be a big phrase that was so popular back several decades ago, the devil made me do it. You know, if you get up and you push your snooze button 14 times on your alarm clock and you finally get up 3 hours late, I don't think you can say the devil made me do that. Devil didn't have to help out. Your flesh did pretty good on its own. Oh, the devil's really fighting today. I'm really battling this or that. You know, a lot of times it's just ourselves we're battling. But we do have battle with the devil as well. So we struggle because we have those age-old enemies, ourself, our flesh, the world, that worldly system, and the devil, the wicked one. And I hate to report to you tonight, but you're going to battle those all the way until Jesus takes you to heaven and He delivers us from the presence of sin. That's why we struggle. And I'm not trying to be lighthearted tonight to say that, hey, somebody who offended you, somebody that you're holding something about against, or something against, I'm not trying to make it lighthearted and just say it'd be easy to forgive them, but I am trying to tell us that if somebody is over there, they could have been a tool of the devil. They could have been just all wrapped up in their flesh, or they could have been completely given over to the worldly way of thinking and just hurt you. So that's why I'm getting to the point that we ought to give those things over to the Lord, because He's the only one that can combat that anyways. So why do we struggle? And then number two, why do we stumble? I want to give a little preventative medicine to all of us in here. This is how we can get into trouble ourselves. If I had a game plan, so hey, do you want to get in trouble? Sure, I'll get in trouble. Here's how to do it. These next six or seven things is how you can get in trouble. But it's also how your offender got in trouble. It's how the person who offended you in some form or fashion, how they got in trouble. They were careless, or one of these things that you catch up on. Number one, or letter A underneath there, you're somewhere in the New Testament. Look in Titus. All of the books that start with T are all bunched up together. You got Thessalonians and Titus and the other one's Timothy. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 12. Why do we stumble? How many of you in the last 30 days you've done some things you wish you hadn't done? Oh, I know there's a few of us that are holy and holier than the rest, but most of us, we've been too short with somebody. They messed up our order and we said back to them what we wanted to say, but then later we wish we hadn't. Somebody didn't do something or did do something at our house we wish they had or hadn't done, and we said, why is everybody? We've all stumbled. So here's why. Letter A, underneath their careless living, Titus chapter 2, verse number 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, same word as the other passage we were looking at, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now listen here, if we were a class, I would tell you this. Class, did you ever notice that it sometimes is hard to live soberly? Because we like to kick it in neutral and just let it coast for a while. How many of you like to be on duty all the time? Almost none of us. We like to be off duty sometimes, but the Bible says we're supposed to live soberly. We're supposed to live righteously. You know, our default setting is not righteous. Our default setting is carnality. Our default setting is worldly. Our default setting is fleshly. But the Bible tells us to live righteously and godly in this present world. Lest somebody says, well, how could you live good in this world? That's what the Bible says to do. But one way that we can stumble is just be careless. You've got a garden. Now you don't, or wrong time to plant it, but you have a garden and you want it to grow beautiful corn, beans, and all the rest, potatoes. You've got taters and maters and all the rest of it. Do you ever notice when somebody has three tomato plants, they've got enough to feed the whole block? And then they're mad because you don't want to make salsa out of their tomatoes. Says, I didn't grow the tomatoes. You grow them. You go, you make something out of them. You grow, you've got all those, that garden. You know what happens when you don't do anything with it? Your weeds come in. You say, well, couldn't that tomato plant grow just as easy as weeds? Apparently not. Because I've seen in our driveway, the weeds will grow up on the gravel, lower driveway of our house. The weeds will grow up there. We can't get grass to grow in a couple spots we want it to grow in. Steve worked on it, and I'm working on it now. Can't get grass to grow in a couple spots, but boy, those weeds. We got some of the hardiest weeds on Victory Lane in all of the Tri-Cities area. You want some good weeds? You come see me. They grow up through that gravel. We drive over them. We spray them. I'd cuss them if I could, but I don't because I'm the pastor. I do whatever we can do to them. They still grow. Why? I don't know, but they do. You got that garden. You want it to look nice. You want it to be producing the crops that you want. But if carelessness is what rules your garden, then weeds are what will come up. Same in your life. You want a good marriage. You want to be a good teenage son. You want to be a good teenage daughter. You want to be a good parent of that teenager. You want those things. You want to be a fair husband. You want to be a listening ear. You want to be a kind, gracious wife. You want to be all those things. You desire that, but you ever understand that desire sometimes is not enough? With carelessness, if we just let nature take its course, weeds pop up. And your garden's not the only place weeds pop up at. Relationships. Before you know, that weed of unkindness and that weed of sarcasm and that weed of short temper and all that. But I'm telling why we stumble is careless living. Number or letter B, the next one, why do we stumble is ignorance. Again, I won't go over it again because we already had up in the other about the devil, though. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, if you're making notes there, I gave you chapter verse 1, but it's actually verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2, 11. The Bible tells you how to live lest Satan should get advantage. Now, it's just us in here. And you might as well be honest with yourself, because the good Lord knows anyways. How many of you've had some times in your life when Satan got advantage of you? Sure. We can look back over seasons in our life and say, what was I thinking? And that's what the Scriptures talk about when it says here, I'll read it to you, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We act like we're ignorant of them sometimes. We act like they don't exist, but lest Satan should get advantage. So why do we stumble sometimes? Because of ignorance. We wake up this morning, say, boy, it's nice. We got that hour, extra hour. It's daylight a little earlier. Wow, we can go up and take of the day. First, especially that first day or two, your body clock isn't connected or isn't adjusted this new time. Say, wow, I feel good. And we say, I'm just going to go tackle the day. And we're ignorant of Satan's devices. Sometimes we are. The Scripture says, lest he should get an advantage of it, forgetting that he's going to be attacking us. So why do we stumble? Because of carelessness. Why do we stumble? Because of ignorance. And why do we stumble? Because of deception. 2 Corinthians, same book, but verse 11. And I'll read this to you. You can turn over there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 14. We simply are deceived by the wicked one. Marvel, no marvel, the Bible says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. But I thought I was on the right path. Yeah. You're not the first one that Satan's deceived. A couple that nobody here would know is way back came to my pastor one time and said, Pastor, I know what the Lord's will is. Somebody's kind of led me in this. And he basically went and gave this long story how that he was supposed to divorce his wife and he knew the one he was supposed to marry. And so he had found out the spiritual advisor was going to help him get connected and then divorce one, go marry the other, and live happily ever after. How many of you see a little problem in that scenario? How many of you know Walt Disney's not going to pick that one up as the next princess movie? His happily ever after is going to crash and burn. Why does that happen? Because of deception. And marvel not, the Bible says. I've kicked myself many times when I believed something that somebody said or got fed a line of things. And the Bible says, no marvel. It's no surprise. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So deception. Letter D, the next one. Why we stumble, but also why our offender would stumble. And that's just pride. Second Chronicles, way back in the Old Testament, I'll read it to you if you want, but Second Chronicles chapter number 26 talks about a king, and this king was good as long as he sought the Lord. Uzziah was his name. You remember he's mentioned in different places in the Scriptures. But if you're there, I want you to look at 2 Chronicles 26. If you're not, I want you to listen close. The Bible says about Uzziah, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But it's not very far. It's only about 11 verses later that we start seeing the sinful offerings of Uzziah. He was afraid of good fella as long as he sought the Lord. But what got him is what gets all of us sometimes, and that's that pride word. He was haughty and lifted up. And so why do we stumble? Well, we struggle because of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We or anybody else stumble because sometimes we have a little prideful thought. I think that we got that one pretty well down. I want you to think with me on the next couple here. There's also a reason why we stumble. Do you know there's people that I would have never believed that they'd be living the life that they're living tonight? And I say that not as a highfalutin somebody that looking down my nose at someone. I don't mean like that at all. There's just people that that I used to preach with and preach with me and preach with for and both and back and now either in totally different veins of even church if they're in. I think letter E gets more of us than some of these others. And you don't even have to turn there. You'll know the story by the name that's on there, Elijah. You remember Elijah was ready to take on everything, but he got weary in the fight against Jezebel. And as we find him, he's at one point ready to take on the armies of all the ungodly folks and the priests. And you find him next just weary and down below the circumstances. Folks, you understand that our health physically is very connected to our spiritual health as well. That's why, as we got started tonight, I want to remind us God's doing a lot of great things in your life, even if it feels like there's a lot of horrible things in there. If we're not careful, we get weary in well-doing and we get thinking about all of the bad and all of the things and we forget, but yes, but God's with me in every step of the way. If you're not careful, you'll look at every bad thing that your spouse does. As good of a husband as Brother Dan is, if Miss Carmen's not careful, she'll have to look very, very hard to find something that Brother Dan does wrong. But even with Brother Dan, you know, you'll have a spouse, you'll have a husband, you'll have a wife that is doing most of the things right. But out of a weary heart and out of a physically wore out body, we will nitpick every time those few places that they have is wrong and will overlook all of that good. And we'll stumble. And we'll stumble because we're weary. We'll stumble because we have the tiredness going on in us. And number the next one, are the pressure that comes. Now, I don't have a Bible verse, although there's plenty of them. I put down as examples Saul, David, and Solomon, the three kings of Israel. What was Saul's problem? Pride. Started thinking of somebody didn't want this pipsqueak David to get all of the recognition. Saul has slain his thousands. David his tens of thousands. Didn't like that. Pride. David's problem was lust. And the one thing that the Scripture mentions, he was the man after God's own heart, but the instance that God puts in the Scriptures in the negative way, it plagued him for all of his life. And then Solomon, the women that he had taken into his life had led him to idolatry. The Bible says, even him did outlandish women cause the sin. And so all of these men, they bowed to pressure from somewhere. Pride, lust, idolatry, which was caused by his associations. But they had pressure. And then letter G, the last one, as we finish up this evening, was satanic attack. You can read the whole book of Job and just a case study of the satanic attack. And there are some people that we know. Just seems like Satan's put a target on their back and really hammering them. I wanted to get to do all that to get you this last to the conclusion is here what I wrote. For us to hold grudges and beefs with others is really fairly hypocritical of us when we realize how prone we are to stumble. Meaning when somebody offended me because they did something I didn't agree with, I act as if I've never done anything wrong in my life. You say, yeah, I didn't do anything wrong like they did. I didn't do as much wrong as they did. I didn't do as severe as they did. I imagine it's somehow like one of the wealthiest people alive on the planet today laughing when we discuss the salaries between somebody who makes $60,000 and $65,000. And we squabble and think, well, we should have got that position that had an extra $5,000 a year. And the other person, no, I should have got that. And the person who's worth multiple billions of dollars has got to kind of chuckle at how senseless it is to argue over $5,000. Now you take that goes above that a couple billionaire and you go to God Almighty. And you got God Almighty and we look at our cars out in the parking lot and say, well, I've got a 2019 that's only 2 years old. Oh, yeah, I got a 2021. Well, I got a 2022 because the new ones came in here just a month or so back, and I've got a brand new one for the next model year, thinking that somehow we're superior because ours is 18 months newer than somebody else's. Or that ours costs a few thousand dollars more than so-and-so and so-and-so. And God, in all of His, and He owes the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the hills that the cattle stand on, and all of the gold and everything that's in all of the mines of everywhere. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it must be a chuckling event for Him as well when we look and superior down on somebody else who's inferior to us because somehow we've come to a better station in life. Now, if we can take all of that illustration and we look at somebody, if you or I are holding a grudge against someone tonight, and we say, well, I wasn't as bad as her, but have I stumbled? Yes. And so when I come to the conclusion that I've stumbled, I should be a little easier on somebody else that stumbled. Maybe they did it in a more royal fashion. Maybe it was vindictive and hateful, and mine was more on the pressure and the weariness side. But I'm telling us this evening that whatever time we're wasting on holding grudges, we should see that just like I sin because of these six or seven issues, so do those other people. And I better, for my own spiritual health, get to a place where I quickly give that to the Lord. If I could get everybody that I ever talk to that's having a trouble with some situation in their life, if I could get myself or them to truly live this phrase, I would be a blessed pastor. And that phrase is, give it to God. Give it to God. But preacher, you don't know what they did. And I never try to belittle some horrendous thing that happened in the life of a person. But regardless, if it's the worst of the worst, and you're thinking of what I'm thinking of probably, they, at that point where they've had the worst of the worst done to them, they need to get professional help so they can help them work through some of their own emotions. But on the spiritual side of it, they need to give that to God and say, God, you're still going to have to take care of that. Because if I'm the vengeance disher-outer, I'm going to make myself miserable. Vengeance must be God's, or else I'll go crazy. So, this evening, we see why we sin. We see why other people sin. Let us be careful. Can I draw your attention, if your page is still open, to that why we stumble? Would you sometime this week, this list is not original with me. This list, it came from a book by Charles Stanley. But I challenge you before the week is over that you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, those seven, that you read over those sometimes, stick in your Bible there, you read over those seven and you pray and say, Lord, help me guard against these things, careless living, ignorance, deception, pride, weariness, pressure, satanic attack. Lord, you help me. And let's not be oblivious. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Strange Bible study, I suppose, in some ways, dear Lord, but I believe my friends need the equipping. And then, dear Lord, there are some of us that also need it to remind us that the person I'm holding a grudge against, they're a frail individual as well that fell in one of these areas. I pray, dear Lord, that you do a ministry in our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. Would you stand together as the ladies begin to play, and maybe God's moved on your heart tonight. And I certainly don't ever like to close a service without giving an opportunity to come. You say, preacher, why do I have to come to the front? You don't have to come to the front. But I can tell you in my life, some of the best decisions I've ever made happen in the front of a church. Maybe you just like to come and pray. It's open for you tonight. Perhaps you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. You're a member here and you've been coming for years and years, but you're having some doubts about that salvation. I did it for years. Oh, it's a horrible way to live. Maybe you need to be assured of that salvation. Would you come tonight? Thank you. May look this way. And I trust that the Lord has done a work in your heart to remind all of us, if nothing else, none of us are above getting tripped up in some wrong things. What's the Bible say? Let a man that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. And have mercy on folks that get tripped up, because it may be us next time. Thank you for being in church tonight. Daniel and said that before the class started, I guess they found out what baby they're going to have. I think it's gender. Be like this one boy, he said, this little boy, his mom was pregnant, and they were all talking, he wanted to be a boy, he wanted to be a girl, and the last little boy said, what do you want? He said, I want a pony. But it wasn't going to happen that way. Daniel's going to be right out here outside my office, right there between these buildings. I think get a crowd together, and if you want to stay, you're welcome to. They got some confetti bombs, I think, that's going to say whether it's a boy or a girl. So if you're interested, or wait, and we'll tell you Sunday, whichever you want to do. But I think they're going to gather out there right here on the sidewalk. But thank you for being in church tonight. I hope that it's been a good place to be. And I hope that we don't let time change get us down. I hope we don't let all the other things get us down. And I hope that we enjoy being in church. Make sure you talk to a few people that you haven't talked to yet before you leave. Tell them it's good to see them. It's a beautiful day today. Tell them something. But rejoice and fellowship with a few people before you leave. God bless you. You're dismissed.